Looking for a job isn't easy. It used to be that you could apply at a big name tech company and build a great career for yourself. But times have changed. Many of these companies have gone full woke. And if you aren't the right gender, ethnicity, you don't use pronouns, or if you're not an activist for the preferred cause, then good luck. Why would you risk your career on that? At Red Balloon, we're connecting good employees with top quality companies that value you for your skills and your work ethic, not your social activism score. Employers who post jobs on Red Balloon are focused on creating an enjoyable and productive work culture, free from divisive woke mandates. So if you want to find a serious career path without the nonsense, come to Red Balloon and post your resume today. Because you shouldn't have to choose between your job and your values. That's redballoon.work, where you can find your future.
Friends, recently I decided to read 1984 because I wanted to see firsthand the instruction manual the radical left is using to destroy Western civilization in general and our country in particular. Well, turns out they're following the playbook quite closely. The Ministry of Truth, or the legacy media, is deciding what is the right news to follow while silencing dissent. The CRTC is actually considering banning Fox News from Canadian cable packages. The Ministry of Love, or the health establishment, is deciding what is best for Canadians, helping us to love Big Brother, the state, more, and punishing dissenters or those who commit thought crimes, thinking that is not in line with the prevailing narrative. Apparently, COVID will never go away, and only perpetual mandates and poisonous injections will save us from a bad flu. And we have the receipts to prove that one, friends. 1984 has quickly become 2023. It's May 11th. I'm Andrew DiBartolo. That's Matt Halleck, and this is the Liberty Dispatch.
Hey, hey, and welcome back to the Liberty Dispatch, broadcasting across enemy lines into the Canadian culture war. We are so very pleased that you have joined us on the program again, and we would just ask wherever you're getting our content from that you would like, subscribe, that you would also rate and review and hit that notification bell if you are getting us on YouTube, which unfortunately, though we have a channel, Liberty for Canada, at Liberty for Canada on YouTube, you can't get our stuff on there right now. Any new content we can't release because we are currently suspended for our episode we did with the boys on the Dominion podcast. You can get all our stuff uncensored on rumble.com/users/libertycoalitioncanada.com, and we just suggest you do it over there. You can also get a censorship free at the Fight Laugh Feast Network, flfnetwork.com. You can also get us handily on their wonderful app, as well as all the other podcasts, by downloading it at the Google Play or the Apple App Store. So we would suggest you do that. All things Liberty Coalition Canada are over at our website, libertycoalitioncanada.com. All our podcasts, you can sign up for our email list and also check out all the many initiatives that we have going on over there, which we are excited. We have the walkout initiative with Josh Alexander coming up very soon. So you're definitely going to want to take part in that. That's May the 17th, 2023 at 10 a.m. Please go over to the website, check out the link that we have there so you can sign up and that you can take part in that walkout. Also, be sure to stay tuned because we have some various other initiatives that are coming out that I know you're going to be really excited to take a part of. So we're really excited about that. If you want to reach out to us directly, as always, that's a mailbag at libertycoalitioncanada.com. That's mailbag at libertycoalitioncanada.com. And Andrew, perhaps you have a question for us today. And also just want to give people a heads up. At the end of the program, we will be getting into some of those mailbag questions, which you are sending to us more frequently. So we do really appreciate that. Question for today, Andrew.
So mailbag questions a little bit different today. In lieu of a proper question, what I want to ask people is, Are you participating in the I Stand With Josh Alexander International School Walkout protest that's happening next week on May the 17th? I mean, I assume you are, because if you're not, I mean, what's wrong with you? But then the next question is, what school are you a part of? So how can you let us know? Well, don't reach out to us the standard way, but head over to libertycoalitioncanada.com/walkout. And there's a form on the right side of the page that you can fill out. Then you can tell us the school you attend and where it's located. And so we know where it is that people will actually be participating in the walkout, so that we can inform not only local pastors, but other friendly people who want to find places where they can go, where they can support the students walking out, pray for them, encourage them. So please head over to libertycoalitioncanada.com/walkout. Let us know where you will be participating in this walkout happening next week. And as always, you know, even though I don't have a proper mailbag question because my question is for the walkout, please send questions, comments, feedback, concerns, wonderful works of artistic endeavors, and I don't know, anything you want to send us, free things,
yeah,
Bitcoin.
We'll take it
You
all.
Can send it to us over at mailbag@libertycoalitioncanada.com. You know, offshore investing has typically been reserved for the ultra rich, but now our friends at Rocklink have found a way to make it accessible to regular Canadians. If you have non-registered investments, this offshore portfolio, the Rocklink Kokomo Fund, may be right for you. Give our friends at Rocklink a call and see if you're eligible to add an extra layer of protection between your portfolio and the government. This is a real extra layer of protection, by the way. Unlike the face diapers, which do nothing, this extra layer of protection is helpful. So you can email Rocklink at info@rocklink.com or visit them at www.rocklink.com. That's link with a C. Connect with our friends there. Matt, I remember when we put on our jewel-encrusted tinfoil crowns and said that the passing of Bill C-11 into law marks the beginning of censorship in Canada and the exclusion of content because it isn't quote-unquote Canadian enough.
Not the beginning, but definitely a turning point in censorship. And
sure, the beginning of legislated censorship. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The beginning of legislated censorship. Well, mm-hmm. It didn't take too long for that to roll out. So the CRTC has opened a public consultation on a complaint from the Rainbow Mafia Rights Group asking the broadcast regulator to ban Fox News from cable packages in Canada.
Of course.
Eagle Canada, a woke neo-Marxist alphabet people group, wrote a letter to the CRTC requesting they open a public consultation. Now, this is from their open letter, and you'll hear not only the Marxist drivel, but almost the veiled threats, the if you don't, it'll be bad for you or other people. Quote, last week, Eagle Canada and a prominent Canadian leader for trans rights and inclusion were featured on the infamously incendiary Tucker Carlson Tonight program on the American Fox News channel. The coverage aimed to provoke hatred and violence against 2S LGBTQI communities, which is false. Continues, this programming is in clear violation of Canadian broadcasting standards and has no place on Canadian broadcasting networks. It sounds a little bit like the religious leaders bringing Jesus over to Pilate, saying he is not a friend of Pilate. He's breaking the laws. He's no bad, very good. He needs to be punished. There's no room for him in Israel. So they're on the bad side of history. They continue, during the segment, Carlson made the inflammatory and false claim that trans people are targeting Christians. And by inflammatory and false, what they mean is true and accurate, of course, because that's exactly what is happening. Letter continues, the CRTC is responsible for all aspects of the Canadian broadcasting system, including ensuring that it serves the public interest. A vague, amorphous term that doesn't mean anything. The CRTC has established that non-Canadian broadcasters must be held to the same standard as Canadian channels. Specifically, Canadian broadcasters can be fined or even lose their licenses for broadcasting, quote, any abusive comment or abusive pictorial representation that, when taken in context, tends to or is likely to expose an individual or a group or class of individuals to hatred or contempt on the basis of race, national or ethnic origin, color, religion, sex, sexual orientation, age or mental or physical disability. This is from the Television Broadcasting Regulations, Section 5B. And I'll note here that clearly they don't mean this entirely, because any kind of things that led to, the burning of churches and the persecution of Christians, that the CRTC, they should have no problem with that. I'm sure Eagle can't.
It's understandable. Oh, Andrew, the letter continues with this. Quote, according to Section 18, Subsection 3 of the Broadcasting Act, the CRTC may hold a public hearing, make a report, issue a decision, and give any approval in connection with any complaint or representation made to the commission or with any other matter within its jurisdiction under this act if it is satisfied that it would be in the public interest to do so. The public interest clearly demands a consultation on the appropriateness of the continued inclusion of Fox News on the list, given the rising levels of anti-trans hate around the world and the potential for segments like the one recently aired on Fox News. There needs to be a serious Canadian conversation about the broadcasting of Fox News in Canada. The television broadcasting regulations represent a democratic consensus on what we do and do not accept on our airwaves, and we have agreed that we do not tolerate abuse and misinformation. Fox News must be held to these same standards in Canadian broadcasting. We are calling on the CRTC to begin public consultation on the removal of Fox News from the list of non-Canadian programming authorized for distribution in Canada. So for anyone wondering what a public consultation is in regards to this whole situation, yes. Well, you can go to the CRTC website, fill out an online form, give some information, say whether or not you are in favor of the request, give comments, and the CRTC will decide whether or not they honor the request. People can submit their comments until June the 2nd. I would suggest, therefore, that everyone in our listening audience go online and speaking in opposition to the request from EGAL Canada because of the obvious neo-Marxist rainbow. Yes, and the reality of the situation, Andrew, is we talked about how Trudeau's censorious regime continues to march down the direction of this 1984 path, but the fact of the matter is, you know, we didn't have to make up any conspiracy theory. Now, this is indirectly dealing with what the CRTC actually has control over, which is like cable packages and that. But we have to understand now, CRTC has regulatory control over the internet now. So if they can excise Fox News, which is, let's be honest, that is the most benign, you know, right-wing news network in the world. I mean, they just fired Tucker Carlson, right? Like,
by right-wing, what we mean is they have one leg on the left wing and one leg on the right wing, and they happen to be leaning more to the right. That's Fox News.
Yeah, and I mean, Murdoch, everybody's talked about how he's an establishmentarian. He's not much of a real conservative, no social conservative. In some of the videos that have come out after Tucker Carlson's departure from Fox, Tucker talks about how Fox is infiltrated with leftists throughout the whole of the news network. We've seen that over and over and over and over again. And Fox, whether you like their broadcasters or not, I don't typically watch Fox except for the occasional Tucker Carlson thing lately. The fact of the matter is they are not the beacon of conservative thought. And in fact, there's many legitimate conservative news publications that would be far to the right of where Fox is. So if we're saying in Canada, Fox News cannot actually be aired on our cable networks, how long until every single publication to the right of Fox, or at least where they're at, is then excised from the news? And the internet, because now the CRTC has control over it. And notice this public inquiry consultation in it. They still have, the CRTC has complete regulatory and discretionary control on whether or not they're actually going to bring anything forward, right? We could bring a complaint forward about drag queen story hour, about drag queens being actually being put on the public broadcaster, you know, without the consent of everybody who's a taxpayer. You know, we're funding that. You know, that's clearly partisan broadcasting from the public funder. You know, we could bring that complaint to the CRTC, and what would they do? They would dismiss it in a hot minute. But the CRTC is, from an extraordinarily biased source, a rainbow alphabet special interest group, they're going to take this concern up because of basically a segment that they are just totally misrepresenting, right? They're saying that Tucker is trying to incite violence on LGBTQ, 2IS, whatever community, because he's factually reporting the fact that a trans activist, a woman pretending to be a man, shot up a Nashville school, killing 3 innocent Christian school children and 3 administrators. That is reality. That's the fact of the scenario. She also left a manifesto that they've yet to release for ideological purposes. I'm sure it will eventually come out, probably in legal findings and discovery and stuff like that. But the reality of the fact is the police in Colorado also had to stop prematurely another trans activist who was planning and plotting to shoot up Christian schools in their neck of the wood as well. So we're seeing increasing violence. And this is at the same time, Andrew, that there's leaks tying the Loudoun County Democratic Party, Soros-backed donors, the Bloomberg associates, to this radical LGBTQ group of Democrats who were calling for doxing private citizens, parents who were speaking out against sexual indoctrination in schools, who were literally threatening violence against these people. So we're seeing in the opposite of what Egal Canada is claiming to be true, yet they're using this misinformation to try and get, you know, one of the most popular sources of conservative commentary in the world, Fox News, ousted from cable packages in Canada. And they say this is in the interest of democracy. Well, sorry. What do you mean by democracy? Do you mean that the 51% can dictate what goes for everyone else? Or are you talking about our actual tradition here in Canada, where even though we have self-governance and representative democracy, as it is anyways, you still can't trample over people's God-given rights and freedoms, including the right of freedom of speech, which this is clearly violative of. So anyways, this is shocking, and it didn't take long to get here. And the fact of the matter is, these regulatory powers, they're not just going to apply to cable anymore. They're going to apply to the entire information highway, the internet. And it's just shocking, but again, not surprising, given the fact that, as you've said, 1984 is quickly becoming 2023. And we see that, Andrew, reflected in this clip that we've played on the program again, but we just want to play it again to remind people of how Orwellian our media complex is.
Hi, I'm Fox San Antonio's Jessica Headley.
And I'm Ryan Wolf.
Our greatest responsibility is to serve our Treasure Valley communities.
The El Paso, Las Cruces communities.
Eastern Iowa communities.
Mid-Michigan communities.
We are extremely proud of the quality, balanced journalism that CBS 4 News produces.
But we are concerned about troubling, irresponsible, one-sided news stories plaguing our country.
The sharing of biased and false news has become all too common on social media. More alarming, some media outlets publish these same fake stories without checking facts first.
The sharing of biased and false
news has become all too common on social media.
Unfortunately, some members of the media use their platforms to push their own personal bias and agenda to control exactly what people think.
And this is extremely dangerous to our democracy.
This is extremely dangerous to our democracy.
Huh. And just in case you thought that there was any actual variation in legacy media, you saw affiliates for Fox News, ABC News, NBC News, and CBS News. So they're all in the same, boat. Is to kind of wrap up this story. The CRTC currently maintains a list of international channels, cable, satellite, and IPTV providers, what they can and can't include in their packages. In March 2022 of last year, the CRTC removed Russia Today and RT France from the list following Russia's invasion of the Ukraine, which, of course, is exactly what they said it is, with no real issues or questions to be asked. And we just have to believe the whole Russia-Ukraine story is that it's being presented to us, because they would never lie to us to further a political agenda and to give cover to an actual evil enemy state. Of course, they would never do that. So this is the kind of 1984-ish media that Eagle Canada wants.
Yeah. And notice how their statement is
no more differentiation.
Notice how their statement is virtually the exact same thing as what we heard.
It is. They were given a script. Yeah. Yeah. We're doing what's best. It's a threat.
It's a threat to our democracy.
Yeah. So maybe get a VPN or, I don't know, subscribe to us, please. Go to our website. Subscribe to our email list, because almost certainly it won't be long before we are not allowed on the regular channels that we've been on historically, where you're not going to be able to go to YouTube and Rumble and get our stuff on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. So you need to head over to our website, join our email list so we can contact you directly with what's going on. Subscribe, please help support and donate to our work so that we can build not only our website strong, our network strong, hopefully build a good app soon so that we can get stuff directly to you so that we can be cancel proof. Our federal government's response to economic difficulties is to print money until it's worthless, driving up the cost of everything, if you haven't noticed, essentially stealing from your hard-earned pay. They also want to monitor your spending by way of a centralized digital currency. The Bank of Canada is currently asking people their thoughts on the new digital loonie. We'll talk about that next week. And they want to control you by way of digital ID, which we're going forward with. So what you need to do is you need to take control of your own resources and be responsible for your own money. Bull Bitcoin wants to help you do just that. Bull Bitcoin is a 100% self-funded, freedom-minded Canadian Bitcoin exchange that wants to protect your financial freedom and help you protect your resources. You should seriously consider talking to our friends over at Bull Bitcoin today. Sign up at mission.bullbitcoin.com/LCC. Have all of your questions answered. And like we mentioned last episode, you can now purchase Bitcoin anonymously with cash at Canada Post locations. All that info is on their website, mission.bullbitcoin.com/LCC. So just over a month ago, right, we haven't broken this story yet because of all the pressing stuff that was happening in our country, but now's a good time. Just over a month ago, the WHO had a rare moment of scientific sanity and reasonableness when they revised their COVID jab advice, saying that healthy children and teenagers were at low risk, which, by the way, we've known since March 2020.
Yeah.
For all of history, we've known that with regard to respiratory illnesses, children and teenagers are at very, very low risk of any kind of serious effect or death. Now, this comes to us, of all places, from CNN. I know. Quote, the updated roadmap is designed to prioritize COVID-19 vaccines for those at greatest risk of death and severe disease, according to the World Health Organization's Strategic Advisory Group of Experts on Immunization, SAGE. What a wonderfully ironic title. There's nothing SAGE at all about the garbage that comes from the WHO. Anywho, quote, the public health impact of vaccinating healthy children and adolescents is comparatively much lower than the established benefits of traditional essential vaccines for children, such as rotavirus, measles, and pneumococcal conjugate vaccines. There's a lot of words there. SAGE said in a press release. Now I'll just interject here. The cost that comes with the impact of vaccinating healthy children in terms of giving them the jab to prevent them from getting COVID is irrelevant. But in terms of blowing up their heart and actually doing damage is high. So they're still straddling the line of misinformation here. Now, so that was about a month ago. Guess what? Healthy kids don't need the jab because that's just the truth. Then, in a stunning move, that's approximately 3 years too late, by the way. About a week ago, the WHO came out with another reasonable and scientifically fair statement. So this is from Dr. Tedros of the WHO. Yesterday, the emergency committee met for the 15th time and recommended to me that I declare an end to the public health emergency of international concern. I've accepted that advice. It is therefore with great hope that I declare COVID-19 over as a global health emergency. Now, as Jordan Peterson might say, it's about bloody time. It's about bloody time. Now, they cited as justification for their statement the fact that the virus death rate has dropped from a peak of more than 100,000 people per week in January of 2021 to just over 3,500 on April 24th. Now, by the way, those numbers are garbage because we know that the PCR test jacks up the false positives, and it's at least half that number, maybe as much as 80% of that number is hijacked by faulty PCR. So I guess in light of this announcement from the WHO that the kids don't need the jabs and the global health emergency is over, people have nothing to worry about. It's time to take off the masks. Stop getting the injections.
Get
right?
Back to normal.
Wrong. Yeah, wrong. Wrong, because they need to maintain their fear grip even while being somewhat reasonable. So Dr. Tedros continues in this release. The worst thing, okay, the worst thing any country can do now is to use this news as a reason to let down its guard, to dismantle the systems it has built, or to send the message to its people that COVID-19 is nothing to worry about. That's the worst thing they could do, apparently. That does not mean COVID-19 is over as a global health threat, he said, warning that new variants could yet emerge. So the health threat is not over. The emergency is over. The health threat is not over. And the worst thing we could do is take down the systems of monitoring, control, surveillance, and coercion. We can't take those down. We need those in place. That's really what he's.
So they can actually legitimately, based on the science, though far too late, claim an end to the COVID-19 pandemic. But they can't dismantle the systems of control that you're talking about because of the specter of a possible virus in the future. So what does that mean? Well, I mean, it's always, I mean, that's how viruses work. But that means that there is no return to normal by this logic, that all these systems that are put in place from 2020 that still remain in place in many areas, despite the fact that there is no global pandemic of COVID-19, they have to remain in place. We have to understand what they're saying.
I want to communicate the absurdity of that in a way that people can maybe understand. Mm-hmm. Let's assume you build a house, and that in the process of building the house, you have to erect scaffolding all around the house, right? You don't have machines, you don't have cranes, it's just you by hand. And so you erect scaffolding around the entire house, and then you build the house. So the house is done. And you say, wow, the house is done. Let's go live inside the house. Time to take down the scaffolding. And then the builder says, well, no, we don't want to do that. I mean, what if there's a flood or a tornado or some form of natural disaster that brings damage to the house, and then we have to repair it? We have to fix the roof. Better be safe. Leave the scaffolding up around the house forever, because you never know when there's going to be another natural disaster. And so you live in a house perpetually afraid of what could be. And every time you look at that scaffolding, you remember what could be, out of fear that something might happen. You never take it down. That's what they want to do with all the measures that have come into place in the last 3 years, telling us, well, just in case.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm just struck that as you were saying that, how that's very similar to the reasoning the Judaizers used in scripture, that you have to continue on with these shadows of these that were fulfilled in Christ, these ceremonial shadows, lest we accidentally do something to offend God. And by denying Christian freedom in light of the finished person work of Christ, Paul's saying that's an antichrist gospel. It's for freedom Christ has set you free. We're not to live by fear. We're to fear God alone. And yet this is clearly a case where the WHO is really put in between a rock and a hard place, right? Because to have any credibility as a World Health Organization, they have to actually follow reasonable standards and guidelines on what actually constitutes a global health emergency and what doesn't. And COVID clearly does not fall within that, especially it hasn't now.
Even if we go by their numbers, mm-hmm. it exited pandemic status and entered into an endemic status within 8 months.
Yes.
This was even if we go by their numbers, which is why they had to change the definition of pandemic to keep us mm-hmm. there. But it has not been a quote unquote pandemic, even though their numbers are bunk, for 2.5 years.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I'm sure there's an aspect to this where they're trying to help their credibility out, especially in light of what they want to do in expanding their powers globally for future pandemics. But yeah, they hedge their bets, though, because though they actually get rid of this emergency power by warning of the potential ghost threat that could happen and saying that government should keep in COVID structures that were in place during the pandemic, now they've run cover for all those totalitarian regimes to continue on.
All the climate stuff, which is coming.
They've just run cover for them and given them the predicate to continue on in these things. And hey, our government is happy to take the WHO up on just that. And this comes, this news comes to us. And it's this position, Andrew, that our federal government takes its cue from. So what does our federal health minister, Jean-Yves Duclos, have to say about the WHO and their statement on COVID? Quote, "This is the end of the emergency. This is not the end of the threat," he said, speaking to reporters at the Liberal Policy Convention in Ottawa. Quote, here's Duclos again, "COVID-19 is still with us. The ghost specter, it's always around us. It will never escape it." Unbelievable. So this vague, unclear, unscientific and unmeasurable statement that Duclos gloms onto, that's exactly how our unelected officials and unelected health bureaucrats have handled the pandemic for the last 3 years. They have constantly moved the goalposts, changed the definitions, and used fear, emotions, and anxiety to drive compliance from Canadians. It's always the specter that things could possibly get worse that has been the wedge that has allowed them to just ram totalitarianism through the door. And you can be sure that the medical establishment will take their cue from Duclos, from the government, as they've done throughout the last 3 years. And surprise, surprise, this comes to us from CTV News. Quote, "Dr. Lenora Saxinger, an infectious disease specialist at the University of Alberta, said in an email that if the message people received is, you know, from the WHO announcement, is it's all over, there is a risk they forget the threat the virus poses on older people and those with additional risks. Thoughtfully using precautions can also reduce risks of other nuisance illnesses and potentially severe illnesses." So there we have it, Andrew. The specter of COVID-19 remains.
That last statement, for anyone who just like it just glossed over them, what this doctor basically said is that all the things that we have done to deal with COVID, we could also put into place to deal with other illnesses. Yes. And nuisance illnesses and severe illnesses, which you might think, well, that's kind of wild. Well, this is exactly what they were saying a year and a half into it with regard to the masks, which don't work. Yeah. Doesn't matter. We're not going to be on YouTube anyways. What is it that health experts were saying? Well, the flu disappeared. The flu disappeared in 2021. Yeah.
And it's not talking about viral interference or anything like that. Or again,
the fact that even the WHO had to come out and say that their new recommendation was PCR tests that could distinguish between COVID and the flu. So there's a lot of misallocation of what actual illnesses people have. We know that for a fact. They even had to specify they needed a clear distinction between the two. But the flu disappears because the mask did it. Therefore, we should probably encourage masking all the time. This is why people are still wearing masks.
Yeah.
Because they have become convinced that it will protect them from everything. Yeah. So if locking things down, if getting jabs, if wearing masks, if social distancing, if it can help prevent all illnesses, this doctor is arguing, we might as well just keep it. Or again, keep the scaffolding up around the house in perpetuity. Because you never know when there's going to be a strong wind. You never know when you'll have to replace a single shingle on the roof. So keep it up. And this is what our health establishment is pushing for. And but let's just, so we're going to see this with climate stuff. We're already seeing it with climate stuff. Yeah. But yeah, even I mean, financial stuff, what could be the justification for a central bank digital currency or a universal basic income? The justification could go something like this. Poverty and income disparity equals suffering, starvation, and death, which is true. Joblessness and poverty equates to death. Mm-hmm. So if poverty and inequality and unequal wealth distribution translates into death, that makes issues of the economy public health issues.
Yeah.
Therefore, in order to ensure life, we need to put strict controls around the economy. Yeah. There's your justification
and
for
and the
CBDC.
Government needs access. Yeah. And the government needs direct access to bank accounts so they can justly redistribute shares according to their socialist communist ideas.
So start to see this with climate stuff, with financial stuff, even with Christianity, even with faith stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, it's suicide is a health issue for trans people.
Mm-hmm.
And we see that lack of acceptance or misinformation, like we saw from Eagle Canada.
Yeah.
Something like Tucker Carlson, it perpetuates harm and violence and the dangers to trans people.
Yeah.
And so who is it?
They can't actually point
trans narrative.
They can't they can't actually point to an instance of Christians harming trans people. Nothing like that. But it's the specter. It's the possible ghost outcome that this could be a bad thing. And they equate a disagreement with actual violent harm to their person.
So Christian belief, Christian misinformation equals the increased death of trans people. Therefore, control measures on the church. You can apply this everywhere.
Yes.
And that's exactly what we're going to see. And that's what they're going to do. And we're just preparing you for it. And in our next story, you're going to see that they're clearly not willing to let it go.
Before we move on, listen, these health bureaucrats, these health officials, these doctors, like Dr. Saxinger, these are the same people using the same logic who were the ones that were the biggest proponents of the measures that took place in COVID. And they are not willing. They are totally unwilling to give up control, to return back to normal. These are the same people who were in charge of everything that took place. And you're seeing the mask has slipped. You're seeing just how insane and depraved this logic is and how unwilling they are to give up the specter of fear, to allow people to return to normal and to, just lay down their radical medical Marxist agenda. It's insane, but it's telling. And we have to take them at their word that this has always been the way that they've seen this going.
Mm-hmm. Friends, I know that 2020 and 2021 feel like a lifetime ago, but I still remember businesses forcing their employees to muzzle their faces, or businesses firing people unless they could prove that they'd put an experimental jab in them. Whatever happened to workplaces being about hard work, integrity, and respecting our rights and freedoms? This is why you need to connect with Red Balloon today. If you're a Canadian business that wants solid employees who don't care about having a woke, statist, ESG-friendly workplace, then sign up at redballoon.org/LCC to post jobs for great employees. And if you're looking for a workplace that will respect your rights, freedoms, and conscience, sign up at redballoon.org/LCC to find great employers. Let's make Canadian businesses cancel-proof. Let's build a solid economy together at redballoon.org/LCC. Some might say that the feds are trying desperately to hold on to their COVID control, but that they've basically let this play go. They want it so bad, but they've let it go. Many don't think they actually intend on making another COVID play. That's not going to happen, meaning no more mandates coming back again. But maybe not. Maybe not. We want to show you a portion of prime fascist Trudeau's speech at the 2023 Liberal Party convention. Now, I don't recommend watching the whole 35-minute speech for the sake of your emotional health and sanity and for the prevention of spontaneous vomiting.
Yeah.
But what we do want to show you is a brief portion that's pertinent to this discussion. And I'll say, if you're driving, pull over. If you're operating heavy machinery, stop. If you're standing, sit down.
We take safety seriously. Yeah.
If you have loved ones around you within reach of your violent punches, kicks, and throwing sharp objects. For the sake of the well-being of your family, sit down. You've been warned. I know how much you all love to hear his voice. Let's play this clip.
But this is what the Conservative Party of Canada has become under Pierre Poilievre. Even Aaron O'Toole knew that. Before he left, he admitted that members of the Conservative Party went deep down into the rabbit hole of conspiracy theories during the pandemic, and they show no sign of coming out. It's quite telling that when Pierre Poilievre sat down with President Joseph R. Biden a month ago, he used his precious time to complain about vaccine mandates. Not borders, not jobs for the middle class, certainly not Ukraine, but vaccine mandates.
Man.
So here's a question. I know those otters out there, those seals out there, despicable. So here's a question. Here's a question that people should have when you listen to that. Why is he still bringing up jabs? Mm-hmm. Why? I mean, we know they don't work and the mandates are gone, mm-hmm. right? Well, there was quite a stir on social media as people who, following the Liberal convention, decided to go to the Liberal Party website and looked over their party platform. And on their website, with a 2023 copyright, we find this section on mandatory vaccinations. And yes, it's still there. Now, I looked in the Wayback Machine, mm-hmm. and this site first came into being in September of 2021, which is when they were ramping up for the election in 2021. And mm-hmm. so this was a part of their election campaign. This was one of their platform promises. Mm-hmm. However, it's still up there. Let's throw this picture on for everyone to see. If you can't see it, Matt's gonna walk you through the evil.
Yeah. So basically, despite this is funny, Andrew. I thought Trudeau didn't make the vaccine mandatory. Did he just say that at the University of Ottawa? Anyways, on their platform, mandatory vaccination. We know well that he and the Liberals made it a part of this 2021 election that vaccination was going to be the wedge issue that they were going to run on. So any divisiveness that they're denouncing upon vaccinations, it's partly because they made it a divisive issue. But it says, to finish the fight against COVID-19, protect people at work, ensure businesses can get back up to speed. How's that going? And most importantly, make sure our kids can safely return to school. We need to do everything we can to keep public spaces safe. Here we go. A reelected Liberal government will require that travelers on interprovincial trains, commercial flights, cruise ships, and other federally regulated vessels be vaccinated. They will also ensure vaccination across the federal public service. As the country's largest employer, this will protect the health and safety of the federal public servants and their communities across Canada. And thirdly, we will also keep working with employers in Crown corporations and federally regulated workplaces to ensure vaccination is prioritized for workers in these sectors. And Andrew, what we see here is just a galling reality that despite what Trudeau's saying in that video, as he's so blithely just shrugging off these vaccine mandates as though they didn't force people in many sectors across the country. They just admitted it, literally the biggest employer we have in our nation and other employers that are closely related to them, like Crown corporations, they made it mandatory for people to get experimental gene therapies. And he's shrugging that off as it said, so it's no big deal, right? Because he's saying, oh, you had this prestigious time with the prestigious and wonderful Joseph R. Biden. He was up for like 10 minutes. And what did you talk to him about? vaccine mandates and their continued idiocy.
Yeah, but the fact that the United States wouldn't let unjabbed Canadians in, that's kind of a big deal.
It's a huge deal.
Just a little bit of a big deal.
Yeah. And that's the reality of the situation. He has utter disdain for people and their bodily autonomy, their medical consent, their rights and their freedoms under the charter. He will use lip service to say he wants to uphold those. He will say our democracy, which means his communist socialist utopia that he's calling forth, our democracy. He'll use all that language, but then he'll actually undermine all the actual rights and freedoms and God-given rights that people actually possess. So, I mean, no wonder people hate hearing him talk, because he is the epitome of a disgusting, evil hypocrite. And for those that are listening, the liberal website still requires this, because
still has it as one of their promises.
It still has it as one of his promises.
But that's an oversight, though, right, Matt? They just forgot to take it down, right?
So some people might be thinking that, like, and we could forgive somebody who's saying, "Well, that's just 2021 re-election promises." They forgot to remove it from their website. They really aren't going to actually make that play again. That's not something that they're wanting to do. Well, we have a portion of a video that we would like to play for you that is a recorded call with a citizen in the office of Ken Hardy, MP from Fleetwood, Port Kells. And it sounds like this. Get ready. It's shocking.
Hello, Ken Hardy's office.
Hi, who am I speaking with, please?
This is Kaji.
Hi, this is Tanya Rollins calling.
Yes?
I'm calling in regards to, I guess they had the Liberal convention back east this weekend.
Yes.
And there's been comments circulating on Twitter that they kept the vaccine mandates in their mandates on the Liberal website. Is that correct? So the Liberal Party is going to go ahead and mandate vaccines? That's what their party platform is?
That wasn't finalized, and so it's still up for discussion.
But it's showing up on their Liberal website as part of their platform.
Right, and it has to go through the approvals. And it was discussed at the convention, but it wasn't finalized yet.
Why is it on the website?
Because it was discussed at the convention.
I'm just trying to find that little Twitter thing, whatever it was. Hang on, I'm just looking for the picture. Mandatory vaccine to finish the fight against COVID-19, protect people at work, ensure businesses can get back up to speed, and mostly importantly, make sure our kids can safely return to school. It's like the same thing you had from, like, previous. You just haven't taken it off. You know what I mean? Requires that travelers on interprovincial trains, commercial flights, cruise ships, and other federally regulated vessels be vaccinated. Ensure vaccination across the federal public sector, which you currently don't have. Correct?
Yes.
That's not a requirement currently, but they're still reconsidering bringing it back, is what you're saying.
Yes.
Whew. There you go. We still got to get rid of all those vaccines that we bought. But does this not, you know, I think we did a good job laying out the receipts here. Does this not follow from the logic that the specter of COVID-19 is always with us? That the threat is never gone? That it's always here? And despite the fact that it's not really here, and the WHO has to at least seem a little credible in realizing that's the reality of the situation, the specter always remains. And it's still an issue that clearly from the convention that we're seeing, the Liberals continue to want to use as a wedge issue. So despite the fact that the vaccines were highly coercive and mandated, ineffective, dangerous, deadly in some cases, in far more cases than any other vaccine would be allowed. Despite the fact that masks didn't work at stopping the pandemic, despite the facts that lockdowns, well, we're seeing the crippling economic and social effects that the lockdowns have brought that people were saying would be the case in 2020. Despite all of that, they're still using this as a wedge issue, and they're still trying to say that anybody who would disagree with these extraordinarily novel, dangerous, destructive, and divisive moves by our federal government, anybody who would disagree with that is a danger, a threat to our democracy, and irresponsible to hold public office. That's the pitch that the liberals are making. That's what Trudeau's saying, and that's what that group of SEALs is yipping.
Mm-hmm. So in conclusion, you can't vote for the Liberal Party because they're going to bring back the mandates. Mm-hmm. You also can't vote for the NDPs because they hate your freedom. And you probably shouldn't vote for the Conservative Party as well, because they're liberals in red who are also going to drive
liberals
a kind
in blue
of neo-Marxism. So, yeah, liberals. That's right. Sorry. They're reds with blue on. Yeah.
Yes.
They're reds with blue on. So that's one application. This is conclusion number two. You need to support, invest, and back with your money the kind of institutions who will not only push back against this, but who are going to bring you the truth of it and inform you and educate and help equip you, like us. Mm-hmm. I think gone are the days where we can just simply trust relatively what comes from the legacy media. Mm-hmm. And gone are the days of thinking, I just turn on my TV. I pay for my cable package, but I don't have to pay to get this thing or this thing or that thing. I think those days are over. I think that with the legislation that's passing, with the world that we're in, if you want institutions that will push back and fight back for freedoms against the false narrative, if you want to actually be informed and find it from a good Christian conservative perspective, you're going to have to not just, you know, like, share, subscribe, comment, that's all good. But I think we need to be seriously thinking about backing stuff up with our wallet if we want to build good institutions and good parallel structures.
And Andrew, just on the voting aspect before we move on to our mailbag questions, I know a lot of people get worried about splitting the votes, doing that sort of thing, but we have to understand the tyranny that has been able to be run on us, especially since the 2021 election. It's been propped up by a coalition of two parties that have similar combined interests, right? So in Canada, in a parliamentary system, you don't need a majority party to actually take governance and control for the society. So parties quite often make coalitions in order to get their legislative agenda across. So the idea that we could have, and I think this is where we ought to go, that we could have some sort of conservative NDP party that's a smaller party but still can, as the NDPs pull the Liberals further and further to the left and their progressive communist agenda, we need a party that maybe wouldn't win a majority in the next election, but though we could get some legitimate NPs who are going to fight for actual socially conservative cause elected, that can pull the conservatives to the right, and that could form voting blocks. Like, these are things that, as Canadian citizens, we need to think strategically about our vote and vote according to our conscience, and to hold these evil big parties who just have us under their thumb to account. And we have to think more long-term than just the next election cycle. Otherwise, we're going to be completely dominated and ruled by Marxists in red, orange, and green. We need to think longer term, and let's be honest, lots of them wear blue.
I could say a lot. The guy who ran as an MPP for the Conservative Party north of where I live owned a health clinic where one of the pillars of the health clinic was diversity, inclusivity, and equity. So there is a neo-Marxist running for the Conservative Party. So
yes,
again, Think about who you're voting for. Do you want this? Mm-hmm. Is this you want to vote for? Number one. Number two, think about where your money goes. Think about who you're supporting and what you're building for the days ahead. And we want to be that kind of institution that pushes back mm-hmm. by helping Canadians legally, by being engaged in various political activism initiatives, and by bringing you the news and analysis to help inform you, to educate you, to give you truth, to make sense of what's going on.
Absolutely.
Let's go on to the mailbag.
We got a lot of questions.
Some mailbag questions. Let's try to move through these quickly. So,
yes.
Matt, do you want to read them out?
Yes, absolutely. I'll read them out, and you can knock them down, and I'll jump in if I think I need to add anything to your commentary. So, this is from Marika, sent us this comment. Charles's coronation, in millions of people's opinion, is a waste of money and energy. The whole royal family should be eliminated. What is the purpose of them anyways?
Now, I don't know what Marika means by eliminated. If she means eliminated, like if she's telling an Italian, like you got to eliminate them, then I don't know if I agree with that.
No, but certainly not.
My answer is something like this. And Matt and I talked about this. Ideally, mm-hmm. in a country where the head of state loves the Lord and desires to see his law borne out in not just the laws of the country, but in the culture of mm-hmm. the country as well, then it's a great opportunity to be reminded of the foundation upon which we stand, and also to continue to push the truth of God's word and God's law. Having said that, in light of the fact that he is the king of the climate cult, he is the Lord of the Great Reset, mm-hmm. and he hates Christ, there is no purpose. I would say ultimately the vestiges of it, it really is just a circus.
Yeah.
It really is just a fancy show that you're right. Why bother? Just give him his cup of blood so that he can drink it down with all his other cult people when they're at Bohemian Grove mm-hmm. and let him destroy the earth as he wants to. Why bother couching it in Christianity? Because that makes it blasphemy.
So yeah, no.
Yeah, there probably is no purpose at this
point. No, there isn't. The monarch in the UK is just a figurehead position right now, which mm-hmm. maybe is a good thing as somebody who's a Republican who believes heavily in representative democracy. I think getting rid of monarchies is a good thing. Although, like you said on our last program, Andrew, it's not really the structure of government, but the direction of government that is really the concern mm-hmm. of the Christian faith. I do think you could have valuable monarchies that are, they're dedicated to upholding the law of God. They mm-hmm. recognize the superiority of Christ as the once British Empire did, which we do see symbolized in the ceremonies. So I think in that sense, to show us that, hey, look at this rich religious foundation that the British Commonwealth has had undergirding and legitimizing its reign and rule. I think for us, it's helpful. But realistically, yes, I mean, it's a vestige of a bygone era. They've stripped and hollowed out all the real meaning of all these things. And yes, I mean, it does just cost money, and it's just all mm-hmm. about pomp and circumstance, which is the very thing that when I was reading the vows and the oaths, that biblical Christianity cuts against. All those things, if directed in right, proper worship, are good, but divorced from the real faith and the true meaning that undergirds them, it is worthless. It's a pile of dung that should be thrown on the ash heap and done away with. So while we can be, we're definitely sympathetic, Marika, to the idea of getting rid of the monarchy and what it symbolizes, because it is virtually useless. And it's a symbol and a vestige of a bygone era that we no longer believe in and care for anyway, as evidenced by the fact that we're trying to throw off all the foundations and erode those foundations in our nation. So anyways, second question, Andrew, comes from us from Dave. I'm really disappointed, speaking of us, that you are now pushing this Bitcoin Ponzi scheme. So please unsubscribe me from your mailings. In my opinion, you are going down a wrong path and deviating from your primary objective. So I'm assuming that's in response to the Bull Bitcoin email that we sent out the other day.
Well, Dave, congratulations. You sound exactly like our prime tyrant and the entire Liberal Party. So that's what they say. So, I mean, that. So just so you know, that's their line. Mm-hmm. Their line is very, very bad. Don't do it. So as long as you're okay with sounding like prime tyrant Trudeau and the entire Liberal Party, then great, you can sound that way. In terms of deviating from our primary objective, I would say the first thing is I'd be curious to know what Dave or others think our primary objective is. And now when he means your primary objective, does he mean our show? Right? Because if the whole point of our podcast is to offer news analysis from a Christian conservative Canadian perspective, then it's obviously, I think, useful to talk about what's happening in the financial world and alternatives to fiat currency, ways to mitigate against the CBDC and tyranny. So in that regard, I think it very much fits in with our primary objective. And if he's thinking of the objective of Liberty Coalition Canada, which is to be a united front restoring freedoms and liberties in Canada, then again, anything that would get us out from underneath the controlling thumb of the state and their hyper surveillance technologies is kind of in line with that. And so I think it very much fits with our purpose and objective. And I would caution saying something that sounds like what you would hear coming from the platform at the Liberal Party convention. You might be on the wrong side of it.
And certainly we have to understand that the reason we can do this show the way that we do this show is partly because of our sponsors. And we encourage people to use our sponsors' businesses because we do value their partnership. But it's okay for conservatives to disagree about the value of Bitcoin. I mean, right? Peter Schiff, the guy who's grounded in Austrian economics, he is a guy that a lot of people with, you know, on our side of the aisle politically would value his opinion. He's really against Bitcoin. And there's other people who are super for it, like Peter St. Ange. Many other Austrians see its immense value, especially at breaking the back of the government's socialistic, communistic monopoly on money. So this is a disagreement that you can have. We're so thankful that Bull Bitcoin has partnered with us. We know that by the metrics that many of our people have really valued using that business and do value Bitcoin as an alternative. But Dave, we're not forcing you to get Bitcoin. If you don't think there's value in it, if you think it's a Ponzi scheme, then don't. We would suggest you don't participate in it.
And if you unsubscribe from our email list, where are you going to get your information?
Yeah.
Where will you find Christian Canadian conservative information? The answer is probably nowhere. So
honestly, to your peril,
unsubscribe to your peril.
Honestly, like, I don't know why conservatives, we have to infight this way. And I don't know why we have to kind of be so sensitive as it pertains to, if you don't agree with it, it doesn't mean you have to unsubscribe for our mailing list. Like, I think that's an extreme action, but Dave, obviously your conscience, we want you to be clear in that before the Lord. And let's move on. Dave, appreciate it. Sorry to bother you with the Bitcoin stuff.
So, but Matt, this one, you handle this department especially. Okay. So Ron writes this: is it possible to download your podcasts as MP3s? That would be a great benefit to me.
Yes. So you can do that. I'm trying to think, like, so when in my podcast app, it downloads automatically, but you can also, if you go over to our Podbean actual app, you can download it directly from the RSS feed as well. So you can check that out as well when the episodes go out.
You can
out.
Also go to the flfnetwork.com website, and when you
select
podcasts and shows, Yeah. You have the option there to download the audio. Yeah. Obviously, get the FLF app. Then you can download them, and then they're, you know, when you they're saved on your phone. So FLF Network, whether it's on your phone or your computer, are great ways to get the audio downloaded.
Yes.
Or most podcast catches. But I mean, for the sake of supporting the network, I would I'd head over that way. Either download the app or go to the website. You can get them that way.
Yeah, so there's definitely a few different ways to do it. So whatever you think is the most expedient way for you, just do that. If you have any more questions on specifics, do reach out to us at mailbag@libertycoalitioncanada.com. Finally, Andrew, Rudy writes, just thought I'd drop a quick note as I listen to one of your podcasts. What frequently confuses me is hearing your constant laughter as you describe horrible matters. It is a disturbing disconnect, even though the ludicrous nature of some of the news items might evoke some nervous laughter. Just a thought for contemplation. Appreciate it, Rudy. Andrew, you have any thoughts on that?
Well, I think when he says constant laughter, I think he means laughing as we're talking about these ridiculous stories, because certainly our show is not marked by constant laughter. I don't think that's what he's getting at. So, if we're talking about something that's particularly atrocious, we kind of laugh at it. So I don't think it's nervous laughter. I don't think that's what it is. I have no problem with with dealing with heavy substantive issues, especially with years serving in pastoral ministry. You are in the most awkward of situations in counseling and helping people, where if you can't control that nervous laughter bug, you're doomed to much discomfort. So I don't think it's that. I think what it is when we're actually dealing with some of these awful stories, the absurdity of them, it's so ridiculous that in a very tragic comedy kind of way, it's funny, in the same way that a big red nose is funny on the face of a sad clown, right? So I don't think it's funny like, boy, that was a good laugh watching that comedy routine. But the absurdity, again, the statement, there's a video clip that's floating around social media right now of Tim Pool interviewing someone, and they're talking about a mom's right to murder her baby. And the guy's pro, Tim Pool's like, listen, no matter, so he asked the question, is it all right for the mom to murder the baby up until the moment of birth? And this, you know, buffoon on the other end said, yep, right up until the moment of birth, even though I don't recommend it, the woman should have the right to murder her baby all the way.
Because they have a right to their own body to do what they
want. And then Tim Pool said, what about if the mom does meth? And the guy said, well, if the mom does meth, I think child services should step in. And Tim Pool said, wait a minute, why should child services step in? It's her body. And then the guy says, well, because she'd be doing something to intentionally kill a baby. And Tim Pool says, okay, just think about that for a second. Hold on. And the guy's like, yeah, I know what you're saying there. Like, that's...
Yeah.
You laugh at that because I don't know how to say it.
It's the fool being hoisted on his own petard.
That is court jester cognitive dissonance, like extreme level stupidity. And the response to laughter is because it's absurd.
Yeah.
It is an evil position.
Yeah.
Right? The position that it's okay to murder a baby because you want to, but if you take meth, that's bad. Right. That is an absurd position that I think evokes laughter. The other thing is this. I think laughter in a response to it in many ways disarms it and exposes it for what it is. Right. Yeah. Laughing at something like this is taking someone who's trying to be an evil enemy and putting a big red nose on them, and it disarms them. It makes them less serious. It makes them less evil, less scary. And I think it functions as a way to expose the evil by having a laugh at it. So it's not nervous laughter. Mm-hmm. It's not trying to get around it. It's worthy of mockery and laughter, and it is to be exposed rightly for what it is. And laughter is a tool that accomplishes that.
Yeah. I mean, Luther literally recommends laughing at the evil one, right? Laughing at the devil because of his foolishness, because of his absurdity. There's plenty of instances in scripture where believers mock and deride and laugh at the evil foolishness of those who are enemies of God and the absolute futility of that position.
And, that's Psalm 2.
Yeah.
Psalm 2, the nations gather in conspiracy. What does it say? He who sits in heaven laughs. He laughs at them.
Yeah.
He derides them for their foolishness. So
would we
apply that to God and say when the enemies of God gather against him to plot in vain the destruction of his anointed one, should we say to God, God, you shouldn't laugh at that. That's too serious a matter. Here evil people are plotting murder.
Yeah.
And yet what does God say? He laughs at them in mockery as a way of highlighting how absurd and foolish they are.
Yeah, it's like an ant trying to destroy the kingdom of Rome or something like that. You know, like it is a foolish endeavor. So there is a just and righteous mockery that would come from reaction to the folly of the enemies of God trying to forward their agendas against all hope. But I mean, sometimes, in the moment too, like, you know, it's easy for people to criticize what we do, but in the moment, as we're going through the scripts, as we're reading some of the inane words and arguments coming out of people, that's the natural thing that comes out of us is we laugh at the absurdity of the arguments. It's just something that kind of happens, honestly. And I don't think it's unbiblical or unscriptural. But we do appreciate that. That is something that we will be mindful of. And we do appreciate that so many people wrote into us with comments, questions, concerns. Again, if you want to get in on the mailbag answer section, please reach out to us at mailbag@libertycoalitioncanada.com. That's mailbag@libertycoalitioncanada.com. We love to hear from you. Hey, and even critical comments, whatever, we love to deal with those.
And again,
as well,
before we wrap up, I'll say again, we want to know which schools people will be participating in regarding
please.
The walkout protest. And so if you're a student and you're attending a school and you plan on joining on May the 17th at 10 a.m. local time, walking out of your school in protest of the trans bathroom policies and in solidarity with what they've done with Josh Alexander and removing him from school, then head over to libertycoalitioncanada.com/walkout, fill out the form, let us know the school so that we can have pastors, parents joining you, encouraging you, praying for you, supporting you. It should be a great day.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you again, everybody, for tuning in to this episode. Until next time, Galatians 5:1.
Thanks for tuning in to Liberty Dispatch, a united front to restore liberty and justice in Canada. Please subscribe to our podcast and Rumble channel, as well as visit our website at www.libertycoalitioncanada.com.
Friends, we're posting new content multiple times every week throughout our various shows on this channel. So you're going to want to subscribe to it and hit that notification bell. That way you stay up to date with everything that we're releasing here with the Liberty Coalition Canada.